Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as is customary with post-communion Thanksgiving sermons, we focus on how now shall we live in thanksgiving and devotion to the Lord. Yes, considering His boundless mercy and His wonderful peace and His precious love, which He multiplies to us for His own namesake, for all who repent and believe in Him. What a gracious, good-doing Savior He is. He says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Well, now let's hear about our gracious calling in response to this, in this Thanksgiving sermon, especially from the words of verse 23 of 21, where Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. The Holy Spirit-inspired letter of Jude, reading it again, it's clear, isn't it? How it gives an urgent and strong appeal to stay with the Christian faith, as taught by the Savior and the apostles, and declared by the apostles, by the prophets before them. I mentioned this morning, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus in the flesh. And at first he didn't believe in Jesus, but he came to know Jesus Christ as the Messiah indeed. And he wanted all people to know Him as the one and only Savior, and to stay with Him as Savior and Lord. And Jude writes then about many who are not earnest in the faith, and those who turned away actually from the faith, and their sad end being brought under the just judgment of God. And then in that context, he writes, verse 20 and following, saying, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then in the next two verses following, he speaks about reaching out to others in compassion and care for their souls while yet in the time of grace. So in this afternoon's sermon, our focus will be this exhortation of Jude. But you, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Will we keep ourselves in the love of God, you and I? Especially you who sat at the Lord's table this day, confessing Jesus Christ as your only Savior and Lord? Can anything be more important for us than for you and me? Our text is similar to what Jesus says in John 15, 9 to His disciples. He says there the night before His crucifixion, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Then He says, abide, remain, continue in my love. What does that mean, however, congregation, to keep ourselves in the love of God? If that is what you and I are doing and are called to do, and if that is what we will do, how will it show itself? And this afternoon, in the context of the book of Jude, very simply, I want to bring out just three clear marks of keeping yourself in the love of God. As expressed in our theme and points as given in the bulletin, keep yourselves in the love of God. How so? According to Jude, means one, ever heeding God's warnings. Two, ever treasuring the gospel way. And three, ever showing genuine Christian witness. So let's look closer at these three points, praying God to guide and guard us by this scripture preaching and teaching, at least if we will keep ourselves in the love of God. Notice from our text then, beloved congregation, young and old, the Christian life and truly walking in it involves, for one, respecting and ever heeding all warnings about going the wrong way. If you think about it, how much of the Bible is actually written in the way of loving, many loving warnings from God not to go in the wrong way. Jude here, we are told in verse 3, was first intending to write more about the Christian gospel and all its riches and wonderfulness and its countless, immeasurable glories in and through Christ. However, he tells us he felt compelled, in view of everything going on in his time, to dwell a lot on warnings. Warnings about leaving the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. In a great part of his short letter, verses actually 4 to 19, he then tells about those who did not follow God and his word in spirit and truth. And he gives many examples of those who fell away and of their wicked deeds. Jude tells too of their sure destruction and doom under God's righteous judgment. In the verses 16 to 19, he then warns about how there will surely be more as we come to the last days who depart from the faith and mock the faith and live in arrogant sin and evil, walking according to their own ungodly lusts, describing them as sensual persons, causing divisions, not having the Spirit. And of course, if they walked away from the faith, that means they never really were in the faith, right? John tells us that. But the fact is, congregation, the book of Jude is in many respects a book of urgent, loving warnings about not following God and his word closely, not staying with the one time, all time, old time word of God and the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what can we learn from this? Shouldn't we learn this important truth? That, in fact, a great part of keeping yourselves in the love of God is taking seriously always the warning side of God's word. Doesn't the unbeliever and the scoffer and the wayward actually show himself or herself in this way, that they ignore God's warnings and brush them off time and again as no real concern? But God's true people, they can be identified as those who not only take seriously all the warnings in Scripture, but they even see those warnings as God's blessing to help them, to hedge us in, and to keep us on the straight and the narrow, and from folly's paths, and the road to destruction. So here's a good question to ask in application. Are you a person who again and again takes seriously the warning notes of Holy Scripture? It can't be a good sign if you don't, and it is most wise if you do. That is something very obvious. Just think here of how in everyday life we have many warnings given us to help us function well in life and to keep us safe. Take, for instance, warning road signs, giving warning of a sharp curve up ahead, or of rocks possibly falling from the cliffs above, or moose crossing area. Or if you go to a construction site and they say, keep out because of explosions happening, well, you're unwise to ignore that warning. If you don't take seriously such like warning signs, you could fast be in serious trouble, even meeting with death. The signs are there for our good. That's common sense, and the wise person respects the warning signs. Warnings in life are a blessing. Warnings in regards to drugs and illicit sex. Warnings about speeding. Warnings about cheating, or you name it. Warnings are in many cases very good for us, and the wise take all warnings to heart, while the foolish ignore warnings and see no reason to take them seriously. Again, what about you in relation to warnings? Do you live paying attention to warnings? Not just common day warnings like wearing your seatbelt when you're driving, or wearing a hard hat when you're on your construction site, and not to play with matches, or to drive while texting. To text while driving, I mean, and being careful with the use of internet and things like that. No, but how about now warnings from God about fleeing temptation, watching who your friends are, not being unequally yoked in marriage, warnings about not wavering from the word of truth and of being on guard for false teaching and not being worldly minded, not disobeying God's holy commandments, respecting those in authority over us. Warnings about not departing from the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Warnings about not just having a form of godliness without knowing the power thereof. Warnings about the slippery slope of sin. Warnings about hardening your heart and conscience. Are you and I among those who takes and wants to take most seriously all these kinds of warnings in Scripture? Do you respect and ever take seriously God's many warning words? Do you see the need of this for yourself and humbly submit to those warning words time and again? I think here too of children and young people. You know, sometimes, maybe many times, your parents will give you loving warnings about this and that from everyday life, but also loving warnings in connection with the truth of God and His Word and will for our lives. Do you listen to those warnings with thanksgiving and respect? Or do you more shrug off those warnings and despise those warnings and try to ignore them if you can find a way? Listen here to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and 11, telling of some of the sad events in the history of the Israelites. Paul states, "Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Again, on the same note, in verse 11, the apostle says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition," you might say, "for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And then Paul says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." And the point is, dear congregation, isn't it warnings need to be heeded by us if you and I would grow in grace and in knowledge and prosper and stay in God's ways? Jude, too, in his book, he gives example after example in loving warning about going the wrong way. Something to be noted about the book of Jude is how it is full of Old Testament history lessons. Here we should see, too, how important to read the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The Old Testament sheds light on the New Testament, and the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament. It's one grand holy book from God. If we would be balanced and growing Christians today, we need to be reading from the whole Bible and learning from it daily and continually. Over and over, there is loving warning given us in the Bible about not ignoring God's written word, but treasuring it and keeping it in your mind and heart. Failure to do so brings sad results, while doing so in a spirit of prayer and dependence can so help us in living in the faith and staying in the faith and in devotion before the Lord with gladness. One commentator wrote about this, saying, quote, "Paying attention to the warnings of the Bible lessens the shock of much we see going on, not just in the world, but also in the church. And it helps us to believe that God is still in control and how we always need to be paying attention to Him. Shall it be well?" Well, just before our text in verse 20, Jude reminds his readers how the apostles foretold that in the end times, that they would not be easy times. And we live in the end times. Paul calls the end times perilous times. And we are forewarned, you might say, that in the Christian life, in the last days, there's all the more reason to be so careful and diligent in God's ways. Again, I ask, will you and I take all these warnings most seriously? Can we truly and steadfastly and joyfully keep ourselves in the love of God without paying respect continually to the warning notes of Scripture? The answer is self-evident. Maybe it's good for me here to ask, is there a warning of Scripture you are presently refusing to take seriously? How many loving warnings, congregation, have been proclaimed from this pulpit also in the years past? Oh, let no one of us have these warnings fall on deaf ears and proud hearts. How infinitely sad if in the final day any one of us should not end up in heaven, but rather in that awful place called hell. Because all warnings against that place and to seek the Lord while he may be found were just not heeded, but ignored. Will you hear the warning note also of Jude that to despise and depart from the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be left to perish forever in our sins? There's no doubt about it. The positive emphasis of Jude is writing to believers in the Christian faith. But you, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, and one way of doing so, I'm saying to you, in the light of this whole book and the God's word, is respect and pay attention to the warnings of Scripture. And never think yourself above and beyond any of the warnings of Scripture. When Jude urges in verse 3, that God's faithful people earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That means very much be on guard and watchful and continually careful to know the Christian gospel way and to beware of the many dangers from within us and from all around us, not to mention from our adversary, the devil, who's always going about as a roaring lion still seeking whom he may devour. And you know, to earnestly contend doesn't mean to be contentious, but to be diligently watchful and heeding all the warnings of God's word that are given us, even just in this one chapter book of Jude. I love what Matthew Henry says too. Matthew Henry says, Jude writes, earnestly contend, not furiously contend. And too often that happens in a wrong way. Well, will we take this to heart? Is this grace and holy resolve characteristic of you and me? You can usually tell people, can't you, who respect warnings and those who don't. In which camp are you? And am I? May God give us each, all younger and older, a very tender conscience in respect to all the warning notes of the Bible. That surely is a healthy sign of keeping yourselves in the love of God. But then a second clear sign to mention showing that you are keeping yourselves in the love of God is ever treasuring the gospel way, or you might say always heartily pursuing the way of the gospel. Notice how very beautifully Jude describes this in verses 20 to 21 with using three verb participles: building, praying, and looking, to help explain what it means positively to keep yourselves in the love of God. It involves, as Jude, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Meaning here, staying with God's word and the great gospel truths thereof and steeping yourselves in that more and more. Never can any one of us, congregation, exhaust all God's word in the beautiful, wonderful 66 books of the Bible that God has given us. Are some of us in danger of thinking and acting as if you know it all already and nothing more to learn for you? Don't let that be so. For always, that's always just plainly wrong and very arrogant beyond measure, no matter how learned you may be and mature in the faith you might be. To keep ourselves, yourselves, in God's love involves also, says Jude, praying in the Holy Spirit. Or you could say, ever asking God, the Holy Spirit, to lead you and to guide you in all your ways, in his grace and truth, and in the way of godliness and faithfulness. Isn't there reason to pray without ceasing in this regard, as Paul exhorts to in 1 Thessalonians 5? Is prayer to God characteristic of us, you and me, day by day? Or do some among us need admonishment, encouragement, perhaps correction in this regard? God knows. Let me say too here, regular attendance at the twice a month prayer meetings, even by Zoom, can really actually be helpful and edifying for prayer if you are able to make it, and you're always welcome. Jude goes on to say that to keep yourselves in the love of God, it furthermore involves always looking to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you could also translate the verb waiting upon the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Doesn't that mean, congregation, ever realizing our constant dependency on God's grace from beginning to end? And how all blessings come to us in and through Jesus Christ and his once for all sacrifice, even to his death on the cross, to keep ourselves in the love of God. Must we not look daily to Jesus and him crucified and risen, and ask always to receive out of his fullness grace for grace? How else can any one of us look forward with anticipation to Christ's triumphant second coming and the last judgment day, except you and I be found in Christ and abiding in his fellowship and ever receiving out of his fountain of mercy, peace, and love for his own name's sake? God's true people who keep themselves in the love of God don't live presuming on grace, but treasuring grace, realizing time and again the wonders of grace by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you keep yourselves in the love of God, as Jude here describes, you know there is unceasing reasons for genuine humility in the faith and for ongoing calling upon God's mercy, for God's mercy for as long as you and I live. Or does this make sense to you all? What Jude teaches us here, dear congregation, is that the way to keep yourselves in the love of God, while that is our responsibility in the Christian life, it is something that can only always be done in the way of humble, hearty dependency on the Lord himself and his word and way. We keep ourselves, and I find this so precious, we keep ourselves in the love of the Lord by asking him always to keep us there, to bring us there and to keep us there, and to have us grow there. Most wonderfully, Jude then also states at the end of his writing about how we are to keep ourselves. Then he says about the one true God of salvation, he is the one who's able to keep us. He's able to keep us from stumbling and to present us, even his people, faultless one day before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a gospel. What a God to trust. Ever looking to him, you will not be put to shame. And when we know this comfort for ourselves, then that always shows, congregation, in our lives also striving to keep ourselves in the love of God in the three ways that Jude mentions. Building ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and ever looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And isn't the Lord's Supper sacrament actually also given us to help us in this whole matter? Jesus instituted it to strengthen us in so living before God and one another. At no point do God's blessings flow ever to us for reasons from ourselves, but only always in and through Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, in reliance on me, in celebration of me, and I will keep you in love with God, even as you look to me. You know, it's pretty striking how in the book of Jude, in chapter 13, verse 12, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the very next verse says, now don't be falling for various strange doctrines and other things. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the simple gospel, the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ, and grow in this word of God about him. And here, notice with me just some details about that gospel way that Jude also mentions and confirms in our text passage. The gospel way, he says, is intimately connected to God's word. And here we need to understand that phrase in verse 20, where he speaks of your most holy faith. That doesn't refer to personal faith, but it refers to the object of faith, the whole word of God and way of God, the gospel of God, as revealed in his word. It refers to what Paul speaks of in Ephesians 2, verse 20, how the household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. So if you and I would be true and thriving believers, congregation, we need to be ever loving and prizing the word of God and the preaching and teaching of the word of God. This is what Jude means when he speaks of building yourselves up in your most holy faith. It means seeking to be more and more saturated with the Word and living in conformity to that Word and its precious doctrines and precepts. And here also the Reformation confessions are such a treasure, for they give us such biblical and balanced, careful and practical summary of the great, unchanging gospel teaching of the whole Word of God. So practically speaking, what this all amounts to is having a high regard also, we have to say that, don't we, for the worship services. Each Lord's Day again, and taking advantage of them, and taking advantage of Bible studies. This Wednesday, Bible study, maybe you can make it. And catechism instruction, Sunday school classes, we hope to start next week again. These are all means of grace to help us know and stay in the love of God. The Word of God is the initial and constant tool of the Holy Spirit in leading us into the love of God and keeping us there and having us thrive there. Are any of you maybe somewhat cold or lax in experiencing and enjoying God's mercy, peace, and love? Exactly for this reason, you are not in the Word much, not as you might be. And perhaps not even as you once were. Oh, how we need to continue to admonish and encourage each other, beloved, to be in and under God's Word time and again. Let's heed the warnings not to avoid worship, to separate ourselves from the fellowship. Will you make this a priority matter in your life? Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And another note about the way of keeping yourselves in the love of God. Notice how our text makes reference to all three persons of the Trinity. It comes through over and over, actually, in this little letter. The Christian gospel is all about God the Father planning salvation, God the Son accomplishing salvation, God the Holy Spirit applying salvation. Our salvation in its beginnings and in its whole course is all the work of the triune God, working in perfect harmony and unity for our salvation. Well, is the triune God precious to you? Do you love Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Are you so thankful also for the pledge of the triune God, His covenant pledge in baptism, to be your God, to assure you of the gospel promises as you look to Jesus? To keep yourselves in the love of God shows in not only holding to the doctrine of the Trinity as, yes, the orthodox truth, but so valuing and treasuring this fact about the one only true God. He's tremendous in the fact that He's triune. He's like no other God. He's the only true God. What a mercy to be in covenant bonds with the triune God of our salvation and the God of our fathers from the beginning of time. The God who is from everlasting to everlasting. To keep yourselves in the love of God, triune congregation, is to be blessed beyond compare. And to be led in the pathway full of grace and love and joy excelling. Are you keeping yourselves in the love of God in a way described by Jude in our text? Do you live each day desiring above all things to move forward only in a way that you keep yourselves in the love of God? God's true people who keep themselves in the love of God don't live presuming on grace, but realizing time and again the wonders of grace by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you keep yourselves in the love of God, as Jude here just prescribes, you know there's unceasing reasons for genuine humility in the faith and ongoing calling for learning more and depending on God's mercy and grace for as long as you live. Well, even so, dear congregation, are you keeping yourself in the love of God? And do we encourage each other in this, in our families and in our fellowship together? But you, beloved, says Jude, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, in contrast to the scoffers, to the unsaved, to those who might be church attenders but not saved. In contrast to them, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Isn't this what describes the essence of true Christianity and heart religion in all ages, for all peoples? Always without this, isn't all our religion just but empty form with no genuine substance and no vital godliness? Oh, may God bless us as congregation at Calgary FRC, that we all keep ourselves, each one, in the love of God, ever heeding God's warnings away from that and ever treasuring the gospel way for that, as Jude so urges us. Is this same your fervent prayer and care as well, also going into the future, not just for yourself, but for your loved ones, for all in the church, and for those beyond and around us? And asking that question comes yet to our last mark Jude shows of true religion, and what that means in keeping yourselves in the love of God, and that is showing also genuine Christian witness and care for those around us. A good way to check yourself if you're keeping yourself in the love of God is there a burden, a care for the lost? Not that that burden is on our shoulders as such, but is that care there, worked by the Spirit? If we know the love of God for ourselves, we will want others to know it as well. And Jude writes, in verses 22 to 23, how believers reach out to others with the only gospel. That's our calling. And he emphasizes the need for genuine compassion for souls and real carefulness in reaching out to others. Again, Matthew Henry says, you'll meet with those who are weak spiritually, but you will also meet with those who are sinful willfully. And you need to distinguish between them. Some whom we come across, therefore, need to be dealt with very tenderly and gently. But others need to be confronted and admonished with tough love. And in all cases, we are called, aren't we, to be careful not to compromise with sin or to be defiled by the contagion of evil all around us. Jude expands on this. Well, would you not agree? What Jude here is stressing, congregation, is that when you keep yourselves in the love of God, that will also show in you and I caring about the lost and doing what you and I can to reach out to those wandering from the faith and to reach out to those who do not know the gospel at all, or those who are so blinded in sinful ways that they too, yes, might come to repentance and faith in God. And so we seek to reach out to them as God gives us opportunity. And we fail in many ways in this often, but it is a care that God's people have. It's characteristic of God's people. Filled with the love of God in your heart, that will show itself in having a love towards all others, not just as image bearers of God, but as those who you know, except they believe in Christ, they will have no future except a future of hell. How the early church, you know, with me, was so filled with love for God in Christ Jesus and was also by the Holy Spirit then so zealous for gospel missions and evangelism. They go together. A spiritually healthy person and a spiritually healthy church is burdened for the lost. True worship of God and missions goes together. And we reflect that too, don't we, by God's grace over the years? We reflected it. And we want to reflect it more and more, don't we? And may God bless us, living in our dark times, that we be a light in our world, urging others, as we are given opportunity, to know the gospel, to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel. And isn't it the fact, too, that being zealous in reaching out with the gospel and seeing the fruit on that can spur us on in joyful diligence in being a light. I'll just give you a little example. I was here this week and a lady passed by, and then I just chatted with her, and then she went to the book box, and so I went to her again, and she took a Bible out, and I encouraged her, and then I also invited her to church. Well, she was in church this morning. It's just a little thing. Not because me, but she was in church. So yeah, but that's hardly ever happens. But it happened. So let's be hopeful. Let's be trusting God to do great things as we just seek to be faithful in being lights as we are given opportunity. So then, on this Lord's Supper Sunday, congregation, when we've been so privileged with the Savior at his table in the gospel way, and even just if you've only observed it, if you're an observer to the Lord's Supper even, still it can be such a blessing. And may the gracious fruit be as exhorted in this Thanksgiving post-communion sermon, that we, one and all, take care to keep ourselves in the love of God. Will you do so? Yes. In ever heeding God's warnings, ever treasuring the gospel way, and always showing genuine Christian witness as given opportunity. Oh, will you and I thus keep ourselves in the love of God and pledge to hold each other accountable in this all-important matter, asking the Lord himself so to guide us and keep us till journey's end. And with that, we can end with Jude's last verse in the book of Jude, where he says, what does he say? To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Indeed, to him be all the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for not only showing us and assuring us in Christ that we may have mercy, peace, and love multiplied to us, but also that you call us to keep ourselves in the love of God. What a gospel command. What a gospel charge. And you show us the way to heed warnings about straying and to treasure the way so rich and gracious and to seek to be a light as you give us opportunity. So, Lord, bless this whole day. Thank you for this special day under word and sacrament. And may we leave from here rejoicing and resolved to seek and serve you with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, believing that's the way of life everlasting and of keeping ourselves in the love of God for now and forever. Lord, we pray yet for next week, also not just for the catechism and Sunday school season, but also for the student missionary whom we hope to have next Lord's Day, Jason. Lord, may it be a special Lord's Day again next week. And will you watch over us in the week ahead? Bless all the children and young people going back to school. Strengthen them, keep them, give them perspective and resolve also in their studies to keep themselves in the love of God, in the way they study, and in what they receive and believe also from their studies, and in what they put away as just folly and nothing to keep remembering, but to put aside as rejection of you. Oh, hear our prayer. Lord, forgive all that which was sinful this day. Strengthen us each in all our needs, and we pray it all in the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name.